Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. It is a blessing to be amongst the land of the living. I thank God for another opportunity to just share His word with those who may be listening to the broadcast today. Thank you for your faithfulness to this ministry, and I thank you for your faithfulness and your heart and your love to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our focus. He is our direction. He is our all in all. So thank you. Praise the Lord. And I pray and hope that you are ready to hear a word from the Lord, something that may pierce your heart, something that may bring comfort, or something that just may be the very thing that you needed to hear today. So we are going to be looking at a few scriptures, and our message today is when you're in the waiting room. Let me repeat myself. When you're in the waiting room. Now, I want you to focus on the word waiting. And we know waiting can be a challenge for many people. Some of us may not like to wait, which goes right along with being impatient. And some of us may struggle with waiting / impatience. And one of the things that we struggle with is when we have to wait. Now, there may be situations in our life where we may not have to wait, but I'm speaking about situations that cause us to wait. Now, I don't know your situation. You know a situation in your life, or you may have experienced a situation in your life to where you had no choice but to wait. So let's look at some waiting room experiences. Now, I use the word room on the end of the title, when you're in the waiting room. And let's look at that room, the word room, before we look at the word waiting. Now, room, as we know, is a place or area or a space designed, allocated, reserved for us to wait. Let me repeat myself, a place or an area or space, regardless of how big it is, how small it is, it's designed or it's an allocated area reserved for us to wait. We wait in a line or groups by categories. We wait maybe in conditions. We wait until the summer season passes. We wait until the winter or fall winter season come into play. We're always waiting. Now, I know some of us struggle with that, may not like it, or they may want to put the cart before the horse or run, hurry. And I want to bring us to the focus of waiting. When you're in the waiting room. The room is a place. Now, my place of waiting may be different than your place of waiting, but all in all, it's a place. And let's look at some of those places. As I mentioned, a place could be in a line. When we're waiting to purchase things, we have to wait behind the person that may be in front of us. We're still waiting. And again, the opposite of waiting is impatience. But we still have to wait. It may not feel good. It may aggravate. It may stress a person out. May even be you. But we still have to wait. It's a place. Some of us may be in a place to where we have no choice but to wait. Why? Because of the situation that causes us to wait. Now, why do I go into this with such detail, underscoring or highlighting the word waiting or wait and room, a place? Some places are not attractive, some places don't feel good, and some places can be an irritant, such as, let me give some examples of some of those places. Maybe in confinement, a place of confinement. Sometimes you may feel as though you may be captive, held captive, feeling captive, bound in some way, shape, or form. Hands are tied. You can't move to the left or to the right. Now, it doesn't mean physically, but it can be physically, or it can be emotionally, mentally, unable to move to the left or to the right. Hands are tied. No way out. We can't see a way out. And sometimes those uncomfortable places or rooms, areas designed or a space allocated, reserved for us to wait. It may be your very home. It may be a job. It may be a relationship that you have to wait. And in the waiting, there comes blessing. Now that's the light when we are in the waiting room. So let's look at it this way. Let's look at it through Scripture. And I want us to read, if you would follow with me, and I pray and hope you have your Bibles or a device that has a Bible app on it. That is always good to have because you'll never leave home without it, meaning you'll never leave home without your Bible. Why? Because it's on your app, your device. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 40. And in Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to go to the very last verse in that chapter. And that's verse 31. Now, I encourage you to read the entire chapter, verses 1 through 31. But we're going to focus on 31 for now. And I want to read this in the New Living Translation. And I'm going to read it in a couple of translations, but I want to read it first
in the New Living Translation, chapter 40, verse 31. And it reads this way in the New Living Translation. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings, eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Now, this is a very familiar passage and a very familiar verse in Isaiah 40. Now, I want to read it in the New King James translation. So follow along with me again. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, in the verse, it says, but those who wait on the Lord. Now let's go a few verses back and let's start in verse 21. And there's a reason for this. And it says this. It reads this way. So follow along with me. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Now, these are questions that are being asked. Have you not heard? Have you not known? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? He who sits above the circle of the earth and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and spread them out like a tent to dwell in. Verse 23, he brings the prince to nothing. He makes the judges useless. Scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown, scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. When he will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? To whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One. Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatest of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Jerusalem? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Verse 28. Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord, hallelujah, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, why did I take the time to read verses 21 through verse 31? It's because we need to understand, just as Israel needed to understand, how they have forgotten who and where they place their faith, their hope. Because they were in a pattern of waiting over their time that God had brought them up and out of Egypt, and they disobeyed God so many times, as we have done ourselves, and they find themselves in situations to where they have to wait on God. And as we all know, that can be challenging from time to time. But let's read this same passage starting in 21. Let's read it, or you can listen if you don't have this particular translation at your hand's reach. But I'm going to reread it in the New Living Translation. And this is a translation that I really enjoy getting a deeper and simple understanding of what the verses are saying. And I love to have a parallel Bible at my hand's reach to be able to do that. So listen how it's read in the New Living Translation. Still Isaiah chapter 40, but we're starting in 41. Follow along. Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God? The words he gave before the world began? Are you so ignorant? God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root, when he blows on them and they wither. The wind carries them off. Verse 25, to whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power, and incomparable strength. Not a single one is missing. Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, powerless. Verse 30, even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I hope that this just brought a little more clarity to the word waiting and the room where, when we're in the waiting room. Now remember, room is a place or an area designed, a space, something allocated or reserved for us to do what? Wait. But while we're in the waiting room, somehow or another, we have tendencies to forget. One, why we're waiting, and two, who we place our hope in. In verse 31, it says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. So those who wait on the Lord, those who seem to have forgotten who created the stars. I know this is also what God had to tell Job. Created the universe. Who created the heavens? Who flung the stars in the galaxies? And in verse 21, as we read, it says, haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God, the words he gave before the world began? And in the waiting, from time to time, we have tendencies to forget, not only while we're waiting, but who we put and the one where we our hope in. While we're in a waiting pattern or a waiting room, we are not to forget why or who we hopeth in. And that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God is a sovereign God. He's got everything under his sovereign control. Let's read Romans 8:28. Again, another familiar passage in Scripture. But I just don't want us to forget that while we're in the waiting, we are to have an attitude, a mindset, a hope, and a faith in the very one who has us in the waiting room. And that's God the Father. There's a lesson for us to learn while we're in the waiting. Why? Not only a lesson to learn, but the blessings to receive when we exit the waiting room. Read Romans, if you would, follow with me. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read verse 28. And I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation, and you can follow along in your translation. And some of us may even know it by heart, but let's read along in Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And this is what we know. God loves us enough to allow us to be in a waiting room, waiting on him, that our strength would be renewed, that we would soar like eagles, that we would run and not be weary, and we would walk and not faint. Regardless of the situation, the room experience, whether it be a small, tight space or a large space, we are to wait and know. Wait and know. Don't forget that we are to wait and know. Scripture tells us to be still and know that he is God. Be still and know. And according to Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that God causes things to work together for our good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So while we're in the waiting room, it is still working for our good, regardless of what it feels like, because we have the confidence of his word and his promises to know that he is working it out for your good. He's working it out for our good. Now, I can't tell you your circumstance, I can't pinpoint it, but you and God together can work it out. It's already worked out because we read this according to Romans 8:28. He's already worked it out for your good. Why? Because you love him so much. And he loves us enough, so much, that he gave his only son. He gave us his son, Jesus Christ. And he loved us enough to know that I will bless you while you are waiting on me. And remember, God's timing is not our timing. And our tendencies is to mentally think ahead of time. How is this going to work out? How is God going to do this for me? What can I do in order for things to be worked out? I should be doing something other than just waiting. But Scripture tells us to wait, as we read in Isaiah 40:31. Yet those who wait on Jehovah will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and will not faint. They will walk and will not become weary. Now, why am I stressing
the waiting room
in this lesson?
Because when we move ahead of God and not be still and wait and listen for his voice in the waiting and know his promises, know what his word says, spending time with him while we're in the waiting, experiencing him with joy, with the right attitude, mindset, letting God handle the waiting room experience. So that means we need to be in the right mindset with hope and faith, totally focused on him. We are not to be running ahead of God in thoughts, in words, and in deeds. And our thoughts or our attitude can cause us to mentally run before God. And when we do things of that nature, it brings about unnecessary stress, fear, anxiety, and possibly anger. One thing we do not want to do is get ahead of God. We always want to focus on Jesus Christ. He is our anchor in the midst of our waiting room experience. This is the reason why we can fall on our knees and be in prayer for others. We can cry out to him in prayer for ourselves. And we can always encourage one another through the word of God. And it has a twofold effect. When you encourage someone, it has a tendency to encourage you. And then the both of you are built up in the word of God. When we are in the waiting, let's look at Matthew 6, and we're going to read Matthew 6, verse 22. We'll start at 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And follow along with me. And again, I'm reading the New Living Translation, one of my favorites. And it reads this way, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink, or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? 28. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't
they don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Amen. So don't worry about tomorrow. Verse 34. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. I like this verse. I really enjoy reading this verse because it's an encouraging verse, chapter 6, in these verses starting at 25, and we read through verse 34. But it really encourages us to understand that we don't have any worries at all. But again, when you're in the waiting room, your thoughts can take you into other rooms that will bring anxiety, stress, fear, worry, uncertainty. And this is what this particular passage is telling us not to do. Do not worry about things that we have no control over. God will feed us. God will shelter us. God will clothe us. And God will make a road in your life straight. So while you're in the waiting room, the question is, in Isaiah, and let's go back there, because he doesn't want us to forget from where he's brought us from already. And while we are in the waiting, he wants us to remember, according to Isaiah 40, and we're going to go to verse 21. And I love what it says. Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? You've heard him speak to your heart. You've seen him make roads in your life that were crooked straight. He's made healing come about your body. He's set you free from anything that may hinder you from thriving and providing. He has strengthened you in the past, and he will do it again. We can't doubt while we're in the waiting room. We can't forget while we're in the waiting room. We have to remember what he's done for us in the past. He says, in Isaiah 40, verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth that he loved you before the foundations of the earth? And while you're in the waiting, it is to our best interest to have an attitude of gratitude, to have a mindset that focuses on him and him alone, that his timing is perfect in your life. You're not in the waiting room by chance. You're in the waiting room for a reason. And the reason may not be clear yet, but he said in his word, be still and know that I am God. To be still and know that I will work it out for your good. You love him and he loves you. This is a promise. And how do we know that God loves us? He gave us his son. He allowed his son to be crucified on the cross, walk the road of Calvary to that old rugged cross where he bled, died, buried in a borrowed tomb, but on that Sunday morning, early that morning, he was resurrected. He got up out of the grave. And that is our eternal promise in the midst of a waiting room experience. No matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the mind is telling you, it is. It's not what it is. Remember what the 23rd Psalm says to us. The 23rd Psalm is a very familiar psalm, and it's an encouraging psalm. It was to David. And we know it by heart, but sometimes we need to go back to these verses, these passages in the Bible that revives us, restores our soul, keeps our direction and our focus on our Creator. Let's read Psalms 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That lying down in green pastures is a waiting place, a waiting area. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Why? He leads me beside the still waters. He's providing you refreshment, quenching, comfort. He restores my soul. Restoration revives us. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So remember those crooked roads that he made straight in the past? He reminds us of those. Why? So that he will be glorified by you, that he gets the glory. His name is exalted on high. We cry out to the name of Jesus, Yahweh, Jehovah. I am is who he told Moses to tell Pharaoh, who sent him. You tell Pharaoh, I am. Verse 4 in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your waiting room experience can feel like death. You are not to fear. You are not to worry, because no demon in hell can come close to you. Why? Because you possess the Spirit of God within you. He has no power over you. Speaking about evil, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Amen. So God's comforter is our Holy Spirit. He is the comforter of our soul. He brings comfort and rest to us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the eternal promise, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We are not to worry. We are not to fear while we are in a waiting room experience. It's an attitude of gratitude while we're in the waiting, a mindset that lets us know that we have the promises through the Word of God, and the promise and the work that Jesus did on the cross. He died, he was buried, and he resurrected. We have the comfort of knowing we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So while you're waiting for your blessings in the waiting room, always remember that the grass wither and the flowers fadeth away. And we read that in the passage of Isaiah 40. Always remember that the grass wither and the flowers, they fade away season to season. But the promises of God, which is his word, from Genesis to Revelation, they will remain forever and ever. The word of God is Jesus Christ himself. And when we place our faith and our hope in him, for someone who may not know him in the pardoning of their sins, I encourage you that you stop, drop, and pray right now that you would come to know Jesus for yourself, that you will understand that when you are in your waiting room experience, his promises, comfort, will be with you all the days of your life. We read that in the 23rd Psalm. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He is our rod and he is our staff.
If you do not know Jesus, I want to pray with you right now. And my brothers and my sisters who are listening to the broadcast, if you could pray with me and lift up someone that the Lord has placed on your heart, whomever he or she may be, lift them up in prayer as well as we go to the Lord and pray a prayer of salvation. We cannot assume that every listener to this ministry is saved. So if you would bow your head and pray with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Now, these are my words, but your heart. And I encourage you that you come humbly to the throne of grace with extended hands if you need be, but wholeheartedly giving your life to him. So let's pray. Lord God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I need thee. I need thee every hour. For you are the breath that I breathe. Without you, I cannot live. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Lord, I surrender my life to you. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Lord, I have nothing but myself to give. You know my waiting room experience, Lord. I believe by faith that you are my Savior. I know that you died on the cross for my sin, and I've committed a lot. But Lord, I know you love me. You said that if I believe by faith in Jesus, that I will have eternal life. Lord, I want to live with you forever. I trust you, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I need you, Lord. Here I am. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I pray and thank you most of all for doing with what you did. You've done the most important thing that you could have done in your life, and that is to give your heart to Jesus Christ, to believe by faith that he is your Savior. And we welcome you into the ark of salvation. Hallelujah. The angels are rejoicing. Now we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church and continue to walk with us in this ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio. But seek out a Bible-believing church to where you can be discipled in a small group study and also be baptized by the submersion of water. So many of us need a place to where we can grow and go in grace, that we can mature spiritually and eat the meat of the word of God, so that you can be fulfilled and be blessed by the Holy Spirit. Also, that God would grow you and use you to proclaim the gospel or share the gospel as he sees fit, using you as a vessel. Proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and lead someone else to Jesus Christ. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is an exciting time. make note of it, and we want you to continue to grow in His amazing grace. So this end of this particular broadcast, Mission from the Heart, and we will continue this teaching series, When You're in the Waiting. So continue to follow us and plug into Mission from the Heart, and we will pick up on next week. God bless you.